Our next speaker is Brother George Patius, and George has chosen as his subject, Christ is the Gospel. Christ is the Gospel. Brother George.
Good afternoon, brethren. The Lord has indeed richly blessed us. I spoke to Alice during the lunch hour, and I bring her updates on the convention. I know I gave her love during my testimony, but she said to give it again. She truly misses being here. Things are under control with Florence, so the Lord indeed does bless. Bring you love once again from New York, and also the Monday night meeting and the Wednesday night meeting. The Monday night meeting, everybody's here except for two who had to leave Sunday night to go back. But I see the Wednesday night meeting are all here. So love from all those. We're going to use as our theme text Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The gospel, good news. When you contrast this with the previous 4,000 years of bad news, indeed, the advent of Christ was good. Of course, it still is good news. We think of those 4,000 years, man a slave to sin, no one able to find release from the penalty of death. Christ indeed is good news. What is this good news? This gospel. It is the joyous news of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Greek word translated gospel means a reward for bringing good news. Through the years, the reward part was dropped off, and now it basically is simply good news. When our Lord came at his first advent, he applied an Old Testament scripture to himself. Isaiah 61:1. He used this to characterize his mission. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. Good tidings. Good news. The gospel. The gospel is not a new plan of salvation. It is the fulfillment of the plan God started many centuries ago. And Jesus is more than the messenger of the gospel. He is the gospel. This good news was present in his life, his teachings, and his atoning death. And as Jesus used the Old Testament scripture in relating to himself, we will see that the gospel is found, although obscurely, perhaps hidden, found in types, it is found in the Old Testament. By looking at the Old Testament, we must distinguish between the law and those scriptures that contain the gospel. By the law, nothing else is meant than to obey the laws and commands of God. But the gospel is such doctrine of the word of God that neither requires our works nor commands us to do anything but to accept the offered grace of the forgiveness of sins and the offered eternal salvation. I chose Revelation 19:10 as a theme text. Let's look at this scripture from different translations. The New Living Testament says, "For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus." The Living Bible, "The purpose of all prophecy and all I have shown you is to tell about Jesus." Weymouth, "For the truth revealed by Jesus is the inspiration of all prophecy." Goodspeed, "For the testimony of Jesus is what inspires prophecy." And Knox, "It is a truth about concerning Jesus which inspires all prophecy. What these scriptures are telling us is that the testimony in the form of prophecy has been given concerning Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is a general testimony concerning Jesus, for he is the scope and design of the whole scripture. Take away Jesus, take away his grace, his spirit. Take this out of the Bible, and it has neither scope, design, object, or end. Let's go to 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 10 through 12. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, signifying of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who made the diligent search? The prophets did. They were the persons inspired by God to do or say things above the reach of their own studies and abilities. The object of their search was the salvation and the grace of God which should come unto you. They inquired and searched diligently. These are strong words, and they are very emphatic. It alludes to miners who dig down into the ground. They break through not only earth, but rock to get to the ore. So these prophets indeed earnestly desired to search. In John chapter 5, Jesus spoke these words to those Jews who were accusing him. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for you believe they give you eternal life, and the scriptures point to me. Yet you don't come to me so that I can give you this eternal life. The Jews were searching the scriptures, looking for eternal life. And they completely pass over all those prophecies we spoke concerning Jesus. Recall the words of the disciples. Recall the words of Jesus to the two disciples as he joined them in walking as they were on their way to Emmaus. Luke 24, verses 25 through 27. O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, 25 through 27. This is why Christ is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And his name is called the Word of God. He makes manifest and he explains to us God. And he brought a full revelation of the Father to us. John 14, chapter, verse 9. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Look at 2 Timothy. 3rd chapter, verse 15. It has an interesting thought for us. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known. If you look at the tradition of the Jewish family, they taught their children to know the scriptures beginning at age 5. And that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which in Christ Jesus. They were teaching them the Old Testament. The Holy Scriptures refers to those writings which I mentioned and which Christ referred to. make thee wise unto salvation. The idea is to be able to detect in the Old Testament writings the various hidden allusions to Christ, and to draw from the Old Testament the mystery of the messianic salvation, and to interpret the Old Testament with Christ as the key. Look at Luke 18, chapter, verse 31. These are words of Jesus to his disciples, Luke 18, 31. All the predictions of the ancient prophets concerning me will come true. He's referring to the ancient prophets, the Old Testament, the scriptures, the prophecies. What about these scriptures and prophecies? If you look at 2 Timothy, verses 16 and 17, I didn't put down the chapter for you. It says this: all scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration means God breathed. They came from God. Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we look at the scripture, which come from God, they're God breathed, given, we could say, given directly by God to us. We would like now to compare sets of scriptures which would further show the closeness of Christ and the scriptures. You might want to term it this way: the written word and the living word. Our first two scriptures are Revelation 19:13 and Luke 5:1. Revelation 19:13 says, his name is called the Word of God. Luke 5:1 says, they press upon him to hear the Word of God. Next two are Isaiah 9:6 and Romans 10:15. Isaiah 9:6 says, the Prince of Peace. Romans 10:15 says, the Gospel of Peace. Our next set is John 14:6 and John 17:17. John 14:6 says, I am the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. Next set is John 6, chapter, verse 51, and Luke 4:4. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Luke 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Next set is 1 Corinthians, 1 chapter, verse 24, and Romans 1:16. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, Christ, the power of God. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God. Next set is Galatians 5:1 and John 8:32. Galatians 5:1 says, Christ has made us free. John 8:32 says, the truth shall make you free. Next set is 1 Corinthians 1:2 and back to John 17:17. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, sanctified in Christ Jesus. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thus we see how indeed difficult it is to preach the word of God without preaching Christ. The two are closely interwoven together throughout the scriptures. And what a wonderful example we have concerning the preaching of the word of God when we consider Paul. This we find in Acts 17, chapter verses 1 through 3. Acts 17, verses 1 through 3. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Remember Philip and the Ethiopian? He came across the Ethiopian riding in a chariot, reading from the scriptures. He didn't understand. So what happened in Acts 8, chapter, verse 35? Ethiopian asked, who can explain this to me? So Acts 8:35, then Philip began at that very scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And where was he reading from? Isaiah 53rd chapter. Look at Acts 18 chapter, verse 28. We have Apollos. Acts 18:28. He did this, proving from the scriptures Jesus was the Christ. In John 1:45, we have these words concerning Christ, which leads us into the latter portion of our thoughts for today. Here we have Philip. Philip had just come from Christ. He finds Nathanael. And what did Philip say unto Nathanael? John 1:45. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Moses and the prophets did write concerning Christ. So we're going to try to look at the Old Testament, see where we can find these hidden allusions, these types, and see how indeed Christ is the gospel. Let's look at Genesis. Now, sometimes we have to go into the New Testament to explain the Old Testament, but it does it very nicely. In the first Adam, we see the last Adam. This is explained to us in 1 Corinthians 15:45, referring to Genesis 2:7. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. In the first man, we see the second man. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In Genesis 3:15, we have further testimony concerning Christ. Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Now, Christ is not mentioned here. But in this seed of the woman, we see the coming son of Abraham. We see the son of David. And we see the son of God. Genesis 12:3. In thee and thy seed shall all nations be blessed. And Genesis 22 says, and thy seed. In Isaac, we see Christ, the true seed of Abraham. Genesis 21:12 says this, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Genesis 21:12. But we look at Galatians, the third chapter, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You know, there are many pictures and types in the Old Testament. One beautiful example was when Abraham offered up his son. And in this picture, we see Jehovah providing his son as a ransom. And this is shown to us in John 3:16. God gave his only begotten son. And in many stories of the Bible, the thought of Christ is indeed involved. For instance, the shedding of blood was required in providing a covering of animal skins for Adam and Eve after they had sinned. But moving on into Genesis, let's go to the account of Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, verse 8. We know the story of Joseph and his brothers. His brother was out in the field tending to the herds. And Joseph went out to them, and he told them about his dreams. In Genesis 37, verse 8, his brothers say to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? This is further accounted for in Exodus 2:14. Here we have the account of Moses. We have a very similar situation. Exodus 2:14. Remember, Moses went out. He found the Hebrew, Egyptian fighting. He killed the Egyptian. Next day, he finds two Hebrews fighting. The two Hebrews said to him, and he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Same thing that was said to Joseph. These two accounts we like to tie in with the parable of our Lord, especially the one as found in Luke 19 chapter, verses 11 through 27. We're not going to read this, but this concerns the parable of the vineyard. And in verse 14 of Luke 19, the people under this sovereign said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, this is referred to in Acts 7 chapter, verse 27. Acts 7 chapter, verse 27. These are the words of Stephen when he was testifying, giving his beautiful witness before he was stoned. Acts 7, verse 27, he recounts this. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him anyway, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? And then you go to verse 35. Oh, this is the account of Moses. And this Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? This same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. But you go over to verse 52 of this seventh chapter, and he really ties it in to his time and the nation of Israel. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. He showed that they killed the very prophets who wrote all these things concerning Christ, and they themselves had betrayed the just one. Moving on into Exodus, we have now how Christ is as the true Paschal Lamb. This is brought to us in 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, verses 7 through 8. This we'll look at when we celebrate the Passover. In Exodus, we have the true high priest. This is shown to us in Hebrews, 5th chapter, verses 4 through 5. And of course, we know about the tabernacle in which the Lord pitched and not men, but we're told about a greater tabernacle in Hebrews 9, verse 11, referring back to these types in the ancient scriptures. Hebrews 9, verse 11, a greater and more perfect tabernacle, referring to Christ. In Leviticus, we are shown many lessons. Of course, this has to deal with the tabernacle of Christ and the sin offering. The high priest, we know, is Christ. The sacrifice, he himself was a sacrifice. The blood which he offered, a one-time offering which erased all sins. The sweet-smelling savor, his life, rose up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. The lessons with leaven, the bullock, the consecration of the priesthood, Christ, head and body, the first fruits, all these are lessons which we find when we look at these Old Testaments talk about Christ. Let's look at Numbers. Numbers foreshadows a Son of Man who come to be lifted up. If you look at Numbers, the 21st chapter, we look at verse 5, Numbers 21, 5. We have an interesting statement here. Here we're told that the people rebelled. They said, we detest this miserable food, which is the manna, which God provided for them. What were they protesting against? We know that we'll come to it. In Numbers, because of this protesting, in Numbers 21st chapter, look at verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And those that looked on it, they were healed. Go to the New Testament, we find Jesus said in John 3rd chapter, verse 14. He said this to Nicodemus, John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Pointing back to those Old Testament pictures and types, in John 12:32, Jesus said this, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So we find here salvation, complete salvation. Numbers also shows us Christ as the rock. Let's look at Exodus 17 chapter, verse 6 first. Exodus 17, chapter, verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. We know that this pictured Christ. We go to 1 Corinthians. No, back to Numbers. Numbers 20, chapter, verse 11. We find what happened with Moses when the people required water later. 20, chapter, verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rod, smote the rock twice. Now we know that he was violating a basic principle set down by God, that there is one sacrifice for sins. By smiting thrice, he was saying that to release sins requires a multiple death. But Christ dieth only one. And then looking at the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 4, we're told about that rock. 1 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 4. For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Just think of it. When you tell about the story of God providing water for this nation of Israel in the wilderness, that you can actually proclaim Christ. Let's look at Numbers again, 11 chapter, verses 7 through 9. Here, too, we talked about the manna. 11 chapter, verses 7 through 9. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. This was a daily necessary gathering for them to do. So look at John 6 chapter verse 58. It tells us what this manna was. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And remember, we said before that the nation of Israel protested about this horrible food that they had to eat. They were actually rejecting Christ. Moving on to Deuteronomy, tells us of this coming prophet like unto Moses. Deuteronomy 18 chapter verse 15, and we know how great a prophet Moses was. In the eyes of the Jewish nation, there was none greater than that. This is one of the accusations Jesus did against them in John the 5th chapter. He says, and Moses, who was a witness to them, they rejected his writings. But getting back to Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, all thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken. Let's go on to the book of Kings. Look at Solomon. The book of Kings shows us the glory we should follow. And we'll look at Solomon. Who could be greater than Solomon? One of the most respected, wealthiest kings, wisest kings found. But in Matthew 12 chapter, verse 42, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus was referring to himself. Let's go on to the book of Job. Job reveals Christ as his daysman, or as Rotherham translates it, as his mediator. Job 9, chapter verse 33. Neither is there any daysman between us that he might lay his hand upon us. He knew the plight of mankind was in. And then still in Job 19, chapter verse 25, here Job calls him his redeemer. 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Let's move on to Psalms. Remember Jesus said to the Jews, ye search the scriptures. He was telling them, if you did it right, you would have found me. What did they miss? Well, they missed Psalm 22. We see the sufferings, the humiliation, and death of Christ. They missed Psalms 16 chapter verse 10, we see the resurrection of Christ. In Psalms 110, we see Christ as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And in Psalms 2, we find Christ as a king enthroned over all. They missed all these. Isaiah, moving on, is also full of the sufferings and glories of Christ. Look at Isaiah 53. The Jews missed this because this pointed to Christ. He is called the Mighty God in Isaiah 9:6. And this is confirmed in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Isaiah 32, verse 1. In the book of Ezekiel, he is called the shepherd. Ezekiel 34, chapter, verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them. And this is confirmed in John 10, chapter, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Look at Daniel 7, chapter, verse 13. Christ is known as the Son of Man. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. That's Daniel 7, 13. Look at the book of Jonah. We have here the sign of the resurrection of Christ. And you'll find this quoted in Matthew 12, chapter verses 39 through 41. As Jonah was in the belly of the 3 days, 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. This really serves to confirm the story of Jonah, and not a fanciful story as some would like to make believe. The book of Malachi has some wonderful revelations concerning Christ. In Malachi, 3rd chapter, verse 1, behold, even the messenger of the covenant. And in chapter 3, verse 3, refiner of the sons of Levi. In the 4th chapter, verse 2, the son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. When you consider the Old Testament, the historically chronicled life of Christ, it is estimated he fulfilled over 300 prophecies. We can't go through all those, but 300 prophecies. So how can you go through the Old Testament and not find Christ? He was born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. And Isaiah records the details of his life on earth. This was done 700 years before he was born, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. In chapter 53. In Psalms, the method of his execution, many centuries before the Romans even introduced death by crucifixion. Psalms 22, verses 16 through 18. We find two thieves were crucified with him, one on either side. You'll find this in Isaiah 53, 9. He was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11, chapter. Verse 12, the Roman soldiers, according to prophecy, thrust a spear in his side, divided his garments, and cast lots for his robes. Psalms 22, 18. Zechariah 12, 10. He drank some vinegar in his death agony. Psalms 69, 21. He convinced, or I should say, the soldiers broke his legs, as was the custom. This you'll find in Psalms 34, verse 20. On the third day, he rose, and over 500 witnesses were witnesses that he rose from the dead. And he, through all these prophecies, convinced many at no material gain, at the cost of their lives, to set aside and preach Christ. When you look at these various prophecies in the Old Testament, it is estimated that the chance of these prophecies being fulfilled are 1 in 10, and then add 180 zeros after that. And in Matthew 26, chapter, verse 56, Jesus says this, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Indeed, the gospel is Christ. And if we preach Christ, preach the gospel, we indeed find a lot of fulfillment in the old prophecies.